So we've just celebrated more than 20 nations there. It was 25 on my original list, and now it's getting a little bit confused, so I'll say more than 20 nations. What I want to do is I want to tell you, for those people who've not been around in Emmanuel for as long as I have, how we've actually got to this point, and tell you a little bit about the journey that we've come along, and how God, through his word, transformed us. And then I want to talk a bit about the thing that Chris and I are going to be doing as of next Sunday. So back when we joined the church around 20 years ago, it was a very, very different church. It was much smaller, and we were very focused on Durham City, maybe a few other villages, and to a lesser extent the region around. If Alan went to Harrogate, he thought he needed his passport. But then we had this lady, Sharon Stone, who is not the famous actress, but is in fact an American prophet. She's a fantastic woman of God. She and her team were based in Durham for a little while. And she came and she gave a prophetic word to this church. And you'll still hear that rumbling around. And that was it. If we went to the nations, then God would give us Durham. God would give us the city. And you hear these words, do they have an effect? Well, this one really did. It completely turned Emmanuel the other way up. It raised our focus from being this area, and it lifted our eyes to the nations. And I want to tell you a little bit of the story of how that happened and some of the nations that we worked in. So around about the same time, we had this young man, Rob Cook, who was a student here. But I think if you actually looked inside Rob, you would discover that he was really Albanian, even though he came from Surrey. He ate, breathed, slept Albania. Every summer vacation from the university, he went to Albania. He did his gap year there. He's now living in Albania. So we decided that we would capitalize on this. And a team of people went out with Rob after he finished his degree, and they planted a church in Albania, and we saw many things happen. And there were, I think, a large proportion of the church at that time went out on mission trips to Albania. Because one of the advantages was it was actually relatively cheap to get there. Some of these other nations are a little bit further away and are a little bit harder to get to. And we saw, well, this is a picture of an Albanian church, which, as Chris stated, the wiring, you can tell that it must be in Albania. It's a place where health and safety hasn't quite reached. And so Rob is still there. He's leading a church in a different town from the one where he started, and we've had contact with him for a long time. Another nation that we had contact with was Ghana. So this is Peter Chi. He came here to do his PhD and became part of Emmanuel. He was also one of the leaders in the Church of Pentecost in Kumasi in Ghana at that time. He's now based in Accra. And through Peter, we got much contact with Ghana. I think there's a picture now of one of their recent meetings. This is one of Peter's recent meetings, and this is just what church looked like there. And if anybody thinks the music here is loud, you have not been to Ghana. There was one point when it was so strong, it had gone past hearing and feeling, I could taste the music. But it's wonderful and it's glorious. And I just loved the African churches because they were just great. Then we had India. We have this family here, which is Finney and Glory Philip and their daughters. And when Finney again came here to do his PhD, and they were looking for a church. And when they visited Emmanuel, in the middle of the worship, they heard somebody behind them saying, praise God, in Malayalam, which is Finney's local native language. They turned round expecting to see another Indian, And actually, it was a young British student speaking in tongues, and she had no idea that she was speaking in this Indian language. And they took that as a sign that this was the place for them. And we've had many, many contacts with them ever since. Janet has just come back from her sixth year of teaching in the Bible College there and teaching English to the Bible College students. And we've had many mission trips, and we've had many contacts. Alan goes there every year and stirs them up, and I think they've never quite seen anybody like him. So we also have other contacts with India. So this is Susan Vagez and their son, who has cerebral palsy. And while Susan was here, she realized that actually she wanted to go back and do some mission with other children with cerebral palsy. And they set up the Deepti Center. And Carrie, is Carrie here? I haven't seen her. So she also set up a charity here called Candle for India, which is supporting that work. But there have been many, many other nations. Some of it, the nations have come to us. In fact, way back in 1980, Emmanuel Church was founded by a Canadian, David Campbell, who you can see there with Elaine. And over that 20 years, we reconnected with him, and he's been back ministering to us regularly. And through him, we have got in contact with Mark DuPont from America, and he's been coming every year for the last few years, and he'll be here in May. That's my little plug. And we've seen many, many things through him. But it's not just people coming to us. There's other people from here have gone. And sometimes it's language students going abroad for a year. Sometimes it's people going and living in other countries with their work. There are many other connections that we've had. But also, many of you have come from other nations to become part of this church. So we're seeing a two-way traffic of people going and people coming. One of my favorite stories about somebody coming here from overseas is a story of Jung. Now, Jung was a student at the university. He's from China. And while he was in China, he became a Christian because he basically met God in his room. Somebody spoke to him. He met God there. But it's very dangerous to be a Christian in China. And so he'd never told anybody, and he'd never met any other Christians. One Sunday morning, he was leaving the residence where he lived, and he saw Peter, who you saw on a couple of slides ago, Peter Chi from Ghana, standing and waiting for a lift to church. And he said to Peter, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm going to church." He said, "Oh, are you a Christian?" And this was the first Christian that Jung had met. He then came to us on a Sunday morning, and this was his first experience of church. And I found this an incredibly privileged position to be in, to actually be the first Christians who he had met. And he's now back in China. We don't have particular contact, at least I don't have particular contact with him, but that's just such a wonderful story. So this was how suddenly we got turned upside down from this church that was very regionally focused, very city focused, and suddenly God lifted our eyes to see the nations. He sent us to the nations, and he brought the nations here. So let's fast forward a little bit, and we have Ginny Bergin. Well, she's maybe from what we used to think of as another nation. She's from Sheffield. And she's recognized as a prophet. She's part of the New Frontiers family of churches. And she came in February 2014, and she gave us another transformational word. It's from Isaiah 54, and it said, "Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you'll spread to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess nations." And she talked about there being a season that was going to start then, when many things were going to happen about lengthening, strengthening, and spreading out to the nations. And over that time, it's really over that time we've seen an incredible number of other nations come among us. And in that time period, we switch the family of churches that we're in within the New Frontiers family to regions beyond. And there's a whole story behind that, which we've all, well, you can ask Alan about it. And regions beyond is, as the name suggests, focused on all of the nations around the world. Suddenly, we'd been plowing a lonely furrow about going to the nations, because we'd felt God had said this, but we weren't in a family of churches where that was particularly common, although that did happen. And suddenly, we have connected with this new family who they are completely, or we, I should say, completely focused on reaching many, many nations. One of the people who came among us is Mark Jones from Gloucester, from City Church Gloucester, who you can see there. And in 2014, he gave a prophetic word to the church. Now, part of that word is, as many of you have heard, about following the river, and as such, we've established a new congregation, or are establishing a new congregation in Chester Street. But there were two parts of that word that really struck me at the time, and strike me every time I listen to it. So we're going to play those now.
From this place, you will inhabit this city, this region, and regions beyond. From this place, you will follow the river. And where the river flows, you will inhabit and establish witness. This I speak both metaphorically and geographically. Metaphorically, God says, you know the flow of my spirit. And many of you from the river of my spirit will come alive to my purposes, and you will bear much fruit in the universities. You will bear fruit in the schools and places of business. I will establish from among you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers in places of learning, innovation and commerce. There will be those in other nations who will encounter some of you and say, where have you come from? He said, I was born and brought up in Durham at Emmanuel Church. I have called you to impact beyond these borders. You have built, you have battled, you have been consecrated, but now I call you to habitation.
So Mark is saying there that we will have an impact beyond this nation and into other nations. And it's not just about little sticking your toe in with short mission trips. He's talking about habitation and establishing something of the kingdom of God in different places. And I like this phrase of places of learning, innovation, and commerce. Because part of the story that Chris and I have is that this is exactly what we're going to be doing. In a place of learning for me and a place of innovation for Chris in Tokyo. So I want to now shift our focus from what God was doing with the whole church to our personal story about going to Tokyo. In a moment I'm going to pass on to Chris because her part of it is quite exciting, but I want to just tell you about what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be working at this place. This is Tokyo Institute of Technology, which is one of the universities, one of the leading universities in Tokyo. And I'm going to be there doing research and teaching. And I have good contacts there. And who knows quite what's going to be happening, but I've been given good favor by my host there. Whereas Chris has a slightly more exciting story to tell.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know us, we're both professors at the university here, and John's in maths. Yeah, I don't trust him with the technology. That was why I was kind of staying that side. John's in maths, so he's going to go to Tokyo Tech. I'm in astrophysics. I do space science. Actually, I'm a rocket scientist, which if you ever need a good way of introducing yourself at parties, that has to be the best. And so as a rocket scientist, I work with rockets. I work with space science. And in the nose cone of this rocket is a satellite, which is called Hitomi, which I've been working on with the Japanese Space Agency for the last 5 years or so. And last month, it came to the really scary time of launch. So I'm going to play you this clip now. Yes. Here we go. This was my breakfast.
All systems are ready.
Still makes me kind of wince slightly. So we were watching it on the live webcam. I'm pacing up and down thinking, oh, the really scary bit isn't main engine start, it's the solid rocket boosters. They have no off switch. When they go, you go. And if it all goes hideously wrong, there is nothing you can do. But it did not go hideously wrong. 14 minutes later, pace, 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 pace. 14 minutes later, we were in orbit. And the satellite was safely in orbit and everything was working. But yes, those 14 minutes were quite scary. So what am I doing in Japan? What am I doing working for the Japanese Space Agency? It's not that I physically built parts of this satellite. What I'm really interested in is what this satellite can do when it's in space. So I look at black holes. And you're standing there thinking, how can you look at a black hole? Because the thing about a black hole, its basic distinguishing feature is it's black. And the thing about space, your basic space color is it's black. So how are you meant to see them? That is a quote from Red Dwarf, but it's fabulous actually, because looking for a black hole on the black background of space is not what I'm about. So what you do instead is you look instead where the black hole is actually having some material from outside fall onto it. Because when things fall under gravity, you get an enormous amount of energy out. So instead of looking at a black hole, you're actually looking at this intensely bright material that's falling down onto it. It's kind of like the last scream before it disappears below the event horizon and is lost to the universe forever. So as this material comes down, as this material comes down, there's so much gravitational energy that it starts getting really, really hot. And it starts glowing not red hot or even white hot, but it starts glowing X-ray hot. So if you can look at the sky with X-ray eyes, this is the sort of thing that you'd hope to see. But when you look at the sky with X-ray eyes from the surface of the Earth, so if you're Superman with your X-ray eyes, you look at the sky and you would see nothing, because X-rays don't make it through our atmosphere. So the only way to see these sorts of objects is to get above the atmosphere, and hence I get to play with rockets. So now you know why I'm part of a space agency, why I'm going to Japan, because what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be part of the new discoveries that this new satellite is going to make. I'm going to be looking in new ways about how this material is falling towards the black hole and try and discover new things about it from this new data. And this is amazing. I get to be part of this exciting discovery science, and I get to live for a year in Tokyo. How cool is that? So that's where it all came from. I've been working with the Japanese Space Agency for quite a while now. And then it was this obvious opportunity to live and work in Tokyo for a year. And so when we first set out, we thought, right, well, we'll live in Tokyo for a year and we'll join a church. Obviously, we'll join a church. Now, there's not that many churches in Japan. It's a nation where 70% of the population is kind of nominally Buddhist and 70% is nominally Shinto. Yes, I can count. Most people are kind of nominally both, but nominally neither, because it's quite a secular society in the same way as the UK. But there are a few churches around, especially in Tokyo, so we thought, yes, we'll just go and join a church and be part of it and support whatever's going on. But around about this time, we also joined the Regions Beyond family of churches, with their emphasis on going to the nations and planting churches. And so we got quite excited, and we thought, I wonder if anyone's going to Tokyo to plant a church. That would be really, really cool to go alongside them and support a new church plant. We're happy just to join a church that's there, but if we can be strategic about this, then we would certainly do that. So we started putting the word out on the grapevine. You know, who's going to Tokyo? Who's going to plant a church in Tokyo? Nobody. We kept asking. Anyone you thought might be a bit connected, we kept asking and asking and asking and putting the word out. Nobody. No. We haven't heard anything about that. And I started to think, that maybe there is someone out there who's been thinking this, but maybe they're thinking the same as us, that they could support someone. They don't particularly want to lead it, but maybe they're thinking they could go and support someone. And maybe if we stood up to be counted, then maybe that would actually bring these people out of the woodwork. Maybe actually we should be standing up and saying, actually, us, we're going to go and plant a church in Tokyo. So I was thinking these thoughts and thinking, I don't think I really want to say this out loud quite yet. It sounds a little bit out there. And so this is where we were at the time last year when we went to go to South Africa to the Regions Beyond conference. And John's going to take up the story from here.
Good. Good job, she's intelligent, isn't it? So we were at this conference called Master Builders in Clarence in South Africa last year. The one this year has just finished. It's just been going on. They're probably today just closing the conference. The very start of the conference, as Chris has said, we were going. My mission was to find these mystery people who were going to be setting something up in Tokyo who we could go and support. The very first meeting, as the meeting started, suddenly there was a great move of God, and in the middle of it, I just felt him say, "It's you." Okay, great. That took a lot of recalibration. So I quickly grabbed Chris and said, "Actually, I think it's us." And husbands, you'll be able to sympathize with this moment. She said, "Yeah, I'd already figured that one out." So we decided that, well, this was slightly out of our comfort zone, so we'd go up for prayer at the end of the meeting when there was a ministry time. And we were like the first people out, and straight away, one of the leaders, a man called Gavin Northcote, came across to us, and he basically said, "God says you're pioneers because you're going to pioneer. You're going to teach others to pioneer. You're going to pioneer because you're pioneers." I think he got the word pioneer. And it was like, ah. So he's hearing the same thing that we're hearing. Right. 2 days later, there was another opportunity for ministry. And Steve Oliver, who is, you know, the head honcho of Regions Beyond, immediately, first thing, came straight over to us and said he got a word for us. And I think he actually knew what Chris was doing. But he said the word was about astronomers discovering a new galaxy. And that they look and they see this galaxy there. And then they try to think, well, somebody must know about it already. and they look at the old star maps and the star atlases, they consult people, and there was nothing there. And he said that something new is going to be started, and you're going to be involved in starting it. So we thought, right, well, this is another piece of confirmation. So we decided we'd come clean with him and say, well, actually, this is what we're going to do. And so that he then said, right, we'll get the whole conference to pray for you. And the next day, that's exactly what happened. We were all very much on, you know, these moments when heaven feels very close and God feels very near, and he's really, this was one such moment for us. But when you think about it, it's a completely bonkers idea. We don't speak the language, at least Chris speaks some of the language, but not very well. We've both of us got busy, time-consuming... No, I don't speak it at all, right? Yeah, I mean, it's not like she could preach in Japanese. Right? We've both of us got busy, time-consuming jobs. We're only going for a year. How on earth are we supposed to start something? It's got to be a move of God that's going to do this. So the day on the Saturday, there was a lady there called Ange from Penge in London who came and told us the following story. While she was on this conference in South Africa, her husband was back home in Penge, looking after the kids and working. Now, Ange and her husband gave accommodation for international students from their local college. And her husband had been given a phone call, an emergency phone call. We need emergency accommodation for this student. He said, well, I'm a little bit reluctant taking in young women into the house when my wife's away. But if it's a real emergency, yes, she can do that. So she arrived in the house, and he was just giving her a cup of tea in the kitchen. And on the fridge was a picture that one of their kids had drawn of Jesus calming the storm. She asked, what's that? So he started to explain about Jesus calming the storm. And then she asked more questions and more questions. And about a quarter of an hour later, she gave her life to Jesus. And she was about to go back to Tokyo. And for me, that was just a sign that I believe God's going to send people along our way and make divine connections with people. And that was just a completely miraculous story. And for me, that I just took that as, well, this is the only way that this can happen. And the final day, I want to just say this. This is a really lovely thing. The very last day of the conference, there was an amazing woman there called Topsy McQuenna. And she was preaching about Naomi and Oprah and Ruth, if you know the story. And she was contrasting the attitude of Oprah and Ruth. Oprah, they were both all this. Both of the these were both daughters-in-law of Naomi, and Oprah just looked at the physical situation around her and went back home. Whereas Ruth had an inspiration of what God was going to do and that God was present, and she had faith rise up in her heart, and she says, I'm going to go where your God sends you. And I just felt that we could look at the situation and say, naturally speaking, it's bonkers for us to do anything. But actually, in God, all things are possible, and if we embrace what he's saying. So that was, for me, was a confirmation. So over this last year, we've been thinking and praying. We've had various opportunities for ministry, and various people here have prayed over us and given us prophecies. And I think there are three themes that are coming out. God is going to establish something through us. And every time I tried to imagine what that might look like or how we might go about it, I've had very clear words of, don't try to second guess. Don't try to imagine, because you're going to miss it. One of the powerful things was at the Hub weekend away, David Campbell was talking about Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus on resurrection morning, because she'd heard all the words, But she was imagining one thing, and she almost missed the miracle because she had something set in her mind. Whereas actually, she'd have had an open mind, she would have met, in fact, she did meet Jesus because of his grace. And it was a word for me: don't try to imagine, don't try to second guess, don't try to plan. And I really like to plan things. So that's a little bit, again, outside my comfort zone. And the final thing would be that God would send people to us, just like he sent that girl to Andrew's husband. So I wanted to think about, a long time ago, I got into trouble when preaching because I only introduced the Bible really late in the sermon. Sorry, I've done it again. But you can think of this all as being glorified testimony, right? But I wanted to ground this in the scripture, and this verse from Hebrews came to mind. That it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going, but by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. For he was looking forward to the city that has its foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That there's some similarities and some differences. I hope we're not going to live in tents. We're more likely going to be living in an apartment in a high-rise block somewhere, and hopefully it will be earthquake-proof. But Abraham went out because he had the call of God, but he didn't know how it was all going to end up. And that's exactly the position that we find ourselves in. We believe God is sending us, and he wants to accomplish something, but we don't know what that's going to be or how to go about it. So what's the missing ingredient for that to work? The missing ingredient is faith. It was faith that Abraham had. So here's the definition of faith, as you can find earlier on in that same chapter. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of things that we don't see. We don't see what God's going to do with us when we leave for Tokyo next week, but we are assured that he's going to do something, and that if we keep our eyes and ears on him, then we'll find out what it is. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ, as it says in Romans. And there are two words in Greek that get translated word. This is a very complicated sentence because I'm using word in two different senses. There are two words that are translated word. One of them is logos, which is the word for the Bible. It's the eternal truths of God that are here for all time. And the other is the word rhema, and that's what's used in this context. It's the now word of God. It's the spoken word of God. It's the word of God for a particular situation. And there's different ways that you can get rhema. Sometimes you can be reading the Bible, the Logos, and suddenly a phrase or a word or a sentence will leap off the page, and you think, I've never seen that before. That's God using the rhema word of God coming to you for now and for this moment. Sometimes it can come as it came through all of these stories I told you about from the prophetic word. Sometimes it can be God speaking and whispering things in our hearts or giving us dreams and visions. It comes in many ways, but that is the thing that produces faith. It's a little bit like when you were a child and your parents said, we're going to the beach. Like, you knew they were going to the beach because they said so. That was a now word. That was a rhema word. And even if it was only going to be at the weekend and it was now Monday, you knew that was going to happen. That's what the conviction of things unseen is all about. It's hearing what God says to you for now and believing and trusting in it. So in summary, over the last 20 years, we as Emmanuel have had words spoken to us about going to the nations, about expanding our tent curtains, about following the river, and this has produced faith in us. And some of those stories you can see are mostly complete. There are other stories that are only just beginning. For Chris and me, it's the same. We've had these prophetic words, and right at this moment, we're in the middle of the story. Quite often, when we hear about faith exploit stories, we can fast forward through the book, and we can actually see how it turns out. But I'm pushing the boat out here, saying I believe God is going to do something through Chris and me in Tokyo. I don't know what it's going to be, and I don't know how it's going to come about. But actually, that is what we believe, and I'm going to push the boat out and say, by faith, I believe, I'm sure that something is going to happen. And now Chris is going to finish off with a challenge for everybody else.
Because the same is true for your life. You've got a word of God over your life. Jesus has spoken to your heart. There are words in you that you know that God has said to you, and you haven't seen that story come to an end yet because you're still here. So what are the words that God has spoken to you? What has he given you faith for? We're about to go off to Tokyo, and it's very easy to sit there and think, yeah, Tokyo, that's exotic. That I'm sure God will be with them. They'll be in some exotic place, some exotic country. Yeah, I could have faith for them. But what about you? What has God given you faith for? What has he spoken to your heart? What are the things that you have yet to see him do? So I'm going to hand over to Alan in a minute. But what I want us all to do is to stand together in prayer with each other, that the things that God has spoken over each of our lives, that we see those come to fruition in the plans and purposes of God. So, Alan, over to you.